After a long and contentious campaign, one tradition of U.S. democracy has held steady as U.S. President Joe Biden welcomes President-elect Donald Trump to the White House.
Well, Mr. President-elect and former president,
thank you,
Donald, congratulations.
Thank you.
The peaceful transition from one president to another is underway. We'll look at just how it's unfolding so far.
This meeting that occurred in the Oval Office today was quite cordial. President-elect Trump thanked President Biden for a smooth transfer of power.
Today is Wednesday, November 13th, and this is The Issue from VOA.
Hi, everyone. I'm Lori Linden.
And I'm Scott Walterman.
The president respects the will of the American people.
White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre, at Wednesday's press briefing, telling reporters why President Biden invited President-elect Donald Trump to the White House.
Today, President Biden met with President-elect Trump for approximately 2 hours in the Oval Office. White House Chief of Staff Jeff Zients and incoming Chief of Staff Susie Wiles joined the meeting. It was a substantive meeting, an exchange of views. They discussed important national security and domestic policy issues facing the nation and the world. President Biden also raised important items on Congress's to-do list for the lame duck session, including funding the government and providing the disaster supplemental funding the president requested. Finally, the president reiterated what he said to the president-elect the day after the election and to the American people in a Rose Garden just last week. We will have an orderly transition and a peaceful transition of power.
It was a cordial meeting between the two that is a long-standing U.S. democratic tradition of the peaceful transfer of power.
Well, Mr. President-elect and former president,
thank you,
Donald, congratulations.
Thank you.
And looking forward to having, like we said, a smooth transition. Do everything we can to make sure you're accommodated, what you need. And we're going to get a chance to talk about some of that today.
So good.
Welcome.
Thank you. And, thank you very much. And politics is tough. And it's, in many cases, not a very nice world, but it is a nice world today, and I appreciate it very much. A transition that's so smooth, it'll be as smooth as it can get, and I very much appreciate that, Jim.
You're welcome.
Before the meeting with Biden in the Oval Office, Trump met with congressional Republicans at a Washington hotel.
Well, thank you very much. This is a very nice gathering. Isn't it nice to win? It's nice to win. It's always nice to win. A lot of good friends in this room.
With a Republican majority in the U.S. Senate and a likely majority in the House of Representatives, the incoming administration will have a clear path to implement its objectives.
You know, Lori, there's been a lot of emotion in the post-election here in the United States, and I presume around the world as well. But you're right. The voters in the United States, cast their ballots and gave President-elect Trump a mandate, a majority of the popular vote, and a majority in both chambers of the U.S. Congress.
Absolutely, and that is how our democracy works. We're likely to see some major changes from the current administration, and some Americans will be very happy about it and others will not. And that is what this democracy has always looked like.
Well, the transition has started. So let's talk to someone who knows a lot about presidential transitions and norms. Joining us now is VOA Chief National Correspondent and former White House Bureau Chief, Steve Herman.
Steve, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
My pleasure.
What are your overall thoughts with President-elect Trump meeting with President Biden at the White House?
Yes, it's definitely something that was very historic to see because it's only the second time in American history when a president has come back for a second term non-consecutively. And this meeting that occurred in the Oval Office today was quite cordial. President-elect Trump thanked President Biden for a smooth transfer of power. Biden, who had severely criticized Trump on the campaign trail this year, replied, "You're welcome." They shook hands. They did not answer questions from the number of pool reporters that were in the room. But the main message in this meeting is to really transmit something symbolic, which is that despite the huge differences we may have between the two political parties, and no matter how much animosity there is between the candidates, there would and should be a peaceful transfer of power. Now, of course, 4 years ago, Donald Trump did not accept his defeat, despite there being no credible evidence that he won the election. So President Biden definitely wanted to go out on a high note and contrast his reaction to that of Donald Trump 4 years ago.
It's an important ceremonial process.
Yes.
For the United States to, A, show the rest of the world how democracy is supposed to work, and to recover from that 4 years ago where there was violence and President Trump didn't even attend the inauguration.
Right.
Left Washington, D.C. before it happened.
I was on the plane, Air Force One, going to Florida that day from Andrews Air Force Base. Yes, very unusual for the outgoing president not to attend the inauguration of a successor.
Tell us about the process now. We're talking about this transition from administration to administration. Try to explain to people the size of that job, the size of the federal government, the number of people that have to leave and the number of people that have to come in and replace them.
Right. Well, there are several million people that work for the federal government. There are some thousands of jobs that change with every administration. They're in something called the plum book, I guess because they're plum jobs. And people will lobby the incoming president for those jobs. We're seeing that going on now. It's much different, though, than it was in 19th century America, when almost all the jobs were patronage. You supported the president, you went to the White House and asked him for a job, whether it was postmaster in Iowa or a cabinet position. However, there are indications from Donald Trump that he would like to go back to much more of a loyalty exchange for these federal jobs. And he's talked about reinstituting a rule that he had put in during his previous administration that Joe Biden threw out, which is called Schedule F, that would politicize many more of these jobs in the federal government.
Let's talk about the big jobs, the cabinet
right.
jobs. These are the people that sit on top of the really important departments, defense, Department
right.
of State, you know, those kind of things.
What we're seeing, again, loyalty being the number one attribute rather than experience. Now, I think we're going to see a mix, actually, but it's going to be very different than the first time when Donald Trump was elected in November of 2016 and really seemed unprepared for the job and was also pressured to come off more as a traditional institutional president and go with people like Rex Tillerson, who was an oil company executive for Secretary of State. And Tillerson and Trump really didn't know each other. It seems like they never really got along with each other. And eventually, Trump fired Tillerson. So Trump definitely seems much more comfortable putting into these positions people that he knows very well, although we are getting some real surprises, including a Fox TV news personality for Secretary of Defense. Now, again, this has to be confirmed by the Senate, and it could be a little bit rocky for this particular person, although he is a combat decorated veteran and still serving as a major in a state National Guard post. But I think we're going to see a few more surprises from Donald Trump for some of these cabinet positions.
He is the surprise, non-traditionalist, outside the box leader.
Yes, and he would say that's why the people have elected me. They want me to shake up the system. For example, announcing this Department of Government Efficiency, which doesn't exist, okay, and cannot be a department unless the Senate actually stands that up and votes to give it some money. But he wants Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy to run this. Elon Musk, of course, being one of the richest men on the planet, who owns the car manufacturer Tesla, SpaceX, which sends reusable rockets up, and the social platform X that was formerly known as Twitter. And in the last week or so, Trump and Musk seem to have been joined at the hip, even accompanied the president-elect to Washington today when he met with Republican leaders in the House of Representatives. He did not go to the White House meeting and sit next to Trump in the meeting with Joe Biden. Oh, there was some speculation that might happen as well. Hmm. So that's definitely not traditional.
The one thing that I wanted to ask you was something that Senator Elizabeth Warren has brought up. Apparently, there is something called the Presidential Transition Act.
Right.
That issue isn't due to be an issue with an ethics plan and agreements that are supposed to be signed within or less than 70 days
right.
before being inaugurated. And apparently, the Trump team has not signed these documents to prevent conflicts of interest and sign this ethics agreement. Elizabeth Warren is saying that's breaking the law. What can you tell us about this particular law?
I think we're going to see this and others challenged among numerous alleged violations by the transition and the Trump team when they get into office. For example, if Elon Musk actually does have a government role, there's huge conflicts of interest there because he has government contracts. And would he actually lay all of his finances on the table, which is something you have to do if you have a government job? Now, the question is, okay, Elizabeth Warren and the other Democrats don't like it, make these allegations, but what are they going to do about it? If the Republicans have the Senate and the House, they're going to be in control of the investigative committees. And if there is a pliant attorney general running the Department of Justice, then we're very unlikely to see any investigations into these allegations of conflict of interest.
Hey, thanks for the time in the big picture for us.
Always my pleasure. Anytime.
Steve Herman is VOA chief national correspondent and former White House bureau chief.
Well, certainly the transition is starting to be very much like the traditions that we have seen, very cordial. We know some of who President-elect Trump is planning to bring on board, but there are a lot of unknowns still about who will be filling up his cabinet and leading some of the major agencies and what's to come. We still don't know. It's in the very early stages, so it'll be interesting to watch and see how this unfolds.
Like Steve pointed out, Lori, I think the thing that the real diehard Trump supporters really like about him is the unpredictability and the fact that a lot of times he just does not follow the norm. And we're starting to see a little bit of that in the people he's appointing to be in the administration. So we will keep you up to date as it all progresses.
You've been listening to The Issue from the Voice of America.
On behalf of everyone here at VOA, thank you so much for joining us.
You can follow The Issue on X and Facebook at VOA The Issue. And for news 24/7 on our website at voanews.com.
In Washington, I'm Scott Walterman.
And I'm Lori London. We'll talk to you tomorrow.